watching from the cover of a handy fallen stone. One of the disc's greatest legends watched the events in the stone circle with considerable interest. He saw the druid circle and chant, saw the chief druid raise the sickle, heard the voice.
"I say, excuse me, can I have a word?"
Rincewind looked around desperately for a way of escape. There wasn't one. Twoflower was standing by the altar stone with one finger in the air and an attitude of polite determination. Rincewind remembered one day when Twoflower had thought a passing drover was beating his cattle too hard, and the case he had made for decency towards animals had left Rincewind severely trampled and lightly gored. The druids were looking at Twoflower with the kind of expression normally reserved for mad sheep, or the sudden appearance of a rain of frogs. Rincewind couldn't quite hear what Twoflower was saying, but a few phrases like ethnic folkways and nuts and flowers floated across the hushed circle. Then, fingers like a bunch of cheese straws clamped over the wizard's mouth and an extremely sharp cutting edge pinked his Adam's apple, and a damp voice right by his ear said,
"Not a sound, or you is a dead man."
Rincewind's eyes swiveled in their sockets as if trying to find a way out.
"If you don't want me to say anything, how will you know I understand what you just said?" he hissed.
"Shut up and tell me what the other idiot is doing."
"No, but look, if I've got to shut up, how can I t—"
The knife at his throat became a hot streak of pain, and Rincewind decided to give logic a miss.
"His name's Twoflower. He isn't from these parts."
"Doesn't look like it. Friend of yours?"
"We've got this sort of hate-hate relationship, yes."
Rincewind couldn't see his captor, but by the feel of it, he had a body made of coat hangers. He also smelt strongly of peppermints.
"He has got guts, I'll give him that. Do exactly what I say, and it is just possible he won't end up with them wrapped around a stone." "They're not very ecumenical around here, you see."
It was at that moment that the moon, in due obedience to the laws of persuasion, rose. Although in deference to the laws of computing, it wasn't anywhere near where the stones said it should be. But what was there, peeking through the ragged clouds, was a glaring red star. It hung exactly over the circle's holiest stone, glittering away like the sparkle in the eye socket of death. It was sullen and awful, and Rincewind couldn't help noticing just a little bit bigger than it was last night. A cry of horror went up from the assembled priests. The crowd on the surrounding banks pressed forward. This looked quite promising. Rincewind felt a knife handle slip into his hand, and the squelchy voice behind him said,
"You ever done this sort of thing before?"
"What sort of thing?"
"Rushed into a temple, killed the priests, stolen the gold, and rescued the girl."
"No, not in so many words."
"You do it like this."
2 inches from Rincewind's left ear, a voice broke into a sound like a baboon with its foot trapped in an echo canyon, and a small but wiry shape rushed past him. By the light of the torches, he saw that it was a very old man, the skinny variety that generally gets called spry, with a totally bald head, a beard almost down to his knees, and a pair of matchstick legs on which varicose veins had traced the street map of quite a large city. Despite the snow, he wore nothing more than a studded leather holdall and a pair of boots that could have easily accommodated a second pair of feet. The two druids closest to him exchanged glasses and hefted their sickles. There was a brief blur, and they collapsed into tight balls of agony, making rattling noises. In the excitement that followed, Rincewind sidled along towards the altar stone, holding his knife gingerly so as not to attract any unwelcome comment. In fact, no one was paying a great deal of attention to him. The druids that hadn't fled the circle, generally the younger and more muscular ones, had congregated around the old man in order to discuss the whole subject of sacrilege as it pertained to stone circles. But judging by the cackling and the sounds of gristle, he was carrying the debate. Twoflower was watching the fight with interest. Rincewind grabbed him by the shoulder.
"Let's go," he said.
"Shouldn't we help?"
"I'm sure we'd only get in the way," said Rincewind hurriedly. "You know what it's like to have people looking over your shoulder when you're busy."
"At least we must rescue the young lady," said Twoflower firmly.
"All right, but get a move on."
Twoflower took the knife and hurried up